sing 294, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. We'll sing the first, third, and the fourth. First, third, and the fourth.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're coming back here to 1 Samuel, which we've been going through Sunday nights. And chapter 15 was about Saul's disobedience and God's rejecting him as king. Remember, he failed to follow the Lord fully in the command about getting rid of the Amalekites. He ended up saving the animals to sacrifice, as well as the king, Agag. And there were a number of problems that Saul had, which led him to do that. And now we come to chapter 16, and we see how God provides David. This is the anointing of David, and God bringing David onto the scene here. And so I'm going to just begin by reading this chapter here. 1 Samuel 16, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. 1 Samuel 16, 1. The Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is cunning player, who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So here in this chapter, we see how God provides David. Verse 1 says that God says, I have provided me a king. This word provided has to do with the word see in the Hebrew. The word to see is part of that word. And of course, this is the idea of God's providence, his seeing before. And we see that he sees David. And you say, well, why did God allow Saul to be king if he knew Saul would be such trouble? Well, the answer is the same. Because God chose him, even though he knew he would be trouble. He was the king that the people wanted. And he was the king that God gave to the people for this time. And we see from the scriptures that God ordains in his plan to allow people like Saul in his plan, as well as people like David. But we see in this chapter how God sees before and he provides King David. And we see that he does that by his choosing, first of all. And I also want us to see how God prepares David. But notice this choice that God makes for David. And we see that he communicates that to Samuel. In verse 1, the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehem, for I have provided me a king among his sons. God communicates his choice here, and we see that that choice may not be what man likes. Evidently, Samuel the prophet was very disappointed with God's rejection of Saul. He was mourning for Saul. Samuel, the prophet, had spent a lot of time in trying to get Saul to the place where he was, and he had worked with him, and now he finds out God has rejected him from being king, and he's just really sad about this. And so God communicates his choice of another king. Samuel is not really too eager about this. He's afraid to go to Jesse's house. God tells him to go and take a sacrifice as a secondary reason for going there, it seems. And so he does that. But we see God's choice may not be what man likes. And that's the case for us as well. God may choose something that we don't really like at first. Or maybe ever. I don't know. Whether we like something or not doesn't necessarily mean it's God's will or not. We may be very disappointed at what God has chosen. And yet He still may have chosen it. He may want us to do something we don't like to do at first, as Samuel had the situation of here. And perhaps that would change. Perhaps there will come a time where you change and you actually come to see, oh, what God has chosen is really good. Of course it is good. God chose it. And then we see God's choice in David here. In verses 6 and 7, it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God chooses here. His choice is according to what he sees and not what man sees. People tend to choose by what they see. And Samuel, as he's looking at Jesse's sons, he evidently is very impressed by this first one, Eliab, perhaps with his physical characteristics. Samuel, back when Saul was being selected, he was impressed by Saul's appearance as well. And so Samuel thinks it must be Eliab, but God has to tell him, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. People, men, tend to choose by what they see, but God chooses by what he sees. What does he see? This verse tells us that God sees the heart. And evidently, God saw David's heart. And he saw something he was looking for, and he didn't see it in any of the other seven older sons of Jesse. But God's choice is according to what he sees and not what man sees. God knows the heart. He sees the heart in a way that's impossible for man to see. God only can see the heart and the thoughts and the motives. God judges the heart. You know, we just need to remember, again, be reminded of the fact that God cares about our hearts and about our spirits and our attitudes. And God can see whether we have sin in our hearts, which we can. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God judges the heart. God judges the heart. He is able to see it. He sees the good and the bad in it. As we see this fact of God's choice here and how he sees, we should at least be aware of our tendency to judge by the things that only that man can only see. We should at least recognize our tendency to do that and our limitation. And I think this verse reminds us that we ought to rely on God and on God's ability to judge the heart and see the heart. We need to ask Him for His help in that. He can do what we cannot. And there is something that can be of great help to us when it comes to the hearts of other people. What is that? Well, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. As limited people, we cannot see the hearts of others. But we do have God's Word. And God has told us that His Word pierces the heart. It's able to pierce the heart in a way that no person could ever do. Go deeper. And so we need to rely on God's Word. We can be comforted that God knows our hearts as well. God is able to help us because of what He knows about us. Romans 8 tells us that he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of God knows our hearts, searches our hearts, and intercedes for us because of that fact. So we can be comforted by that as well. So we see God's choice of David. It may be not what man likes at first. God's choice is according to what God sees, not what man sees necessarily. And then I want you to see God preparing David here. As God provides David, we see that He prepares David. And we're told here about David a little bit. Verse 11, Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." Now he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." We are told here a little bit about David's personal appearance. He's ruddy. This word means red. It's used also of another person in the Bible. Anybody know? Esau, right? Same words used of Esau. And so in what way was he red? I don't know exactly. Maybe red hair. Maybe his skin was a little more red. I don't know. But somehow he was red. And he was of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. God tells us that as well. And also he is the youngest. He's the youngest of his family. He had seven older brothers. Here is David. He's the eighth child, the youngest child. All of those things are ways that God had prepared David. God prepares David from his mother's womb. These details about David, they're not unimportant. They are actually how God made David. And from the time that he was conceived in his mother's womb, God was preparing him. And David understood that because he wrote about it in Psalm 139. Verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." God prepared David from his mother's womb. And then we see God preparing David with responsibility. What was David doing? He was watching sheep. He was caring for sheep. He was busy with work, caring for animals. It was a responsibility that was not a super high level responsibility, caring for sheep. And yet we're reminded here that God's way is often to prepare men in this way. He did it with others. Moses. Moses was a shepherd. He spent years keeping sheep in the desert. God had other work that he gave to men, responsibilities. He gave to Gideon, who was a farmer. Some of the disciples were fishermen. And it seems that God gives men these responsibilities to help to prepare them. And we can despise those sometimes. We can see those as being not all that important. And we can become impatient with God. But God usually prepares people in this way or some similar way. There's a reward for being faithful in the few things. The Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 21, the parable of the talents, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." And that's what's going on in this life, really. God has given us a few things, and He wants us to be faithful with the few things. We may not see them as being that important, but there's a reward that comes in proportion to our faithfulness in those few things. And so God was preparing David with this responsibility. And God also gives David his spirit in verse 13. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. God gives people his spirit. We can do nothing without the Spirit of God. If only we knew how little we could do apart from the Spirit of God. We see how much the Spirit of God is able to help us in the Scriptures. Even with the Great Commission, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The Holy Spirit is the power behind the Great Commission, behind our ability to witness for Christ. Apart from the Spirit of God, we can't do anything. We can't obey the Great Commission even. We can't serve the Lord. And God prepares David by giving him his Spirit. And then we see that God deals with these skills, one in particular that David has. And we see that it is a solution to a problem. Verse 14, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." What is this? What's going on here? Is this demon possession? It could be, but it may not be. It could be just a harmful spirit. It could be a demonic influence. And so what's the answer? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But whatever it was, it caused this problem that Saul had for the rest of his life, these terrible moods and fits that Saul was in, this evil spirit from the Lord. Perhaps, you know, from without was influencing him. I don't think it necessarily needs to be a demon possession. And so the servants recognize this. This is a problem. It's an evil spirit from the Lord. Well, how could it be from the Lord? How could it be from the Lord? Well, if it was a demon, remember the first chapters of the book of Job. When Satan wanted to test Job and afflict Job, what did he have to do? He had to get God's permission. And perhaps there's a similar thing here going on, if it is an evil spirit, that God permitted this to happen. And this evil spirit was allowed to influence Saul in some way. So ultimately, you know, if this is the judgment, it comes from the Lord, who is the judge. So Saul's servants recognize this. This is a problem. They're trying to help him. And so what do they say? Verse 16. "Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." Saul says unto his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." So they think he needs some music therapy. And that music, they think, is going to help him. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, says that maybe that wasn't really the best advice they could have given Saul. If they knew that Saul had a problem with his relationship with the Lord, perhaps they should have said, "Saul, seek the Lord. seek the Lord and turn from your sin of rejecting Him. But this isn't a, maybe this is a second best counsel that they give, trying to cheer him up in this way. But David is recognized as somebody who can do this. Verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." And so it works out that David is able to come to the court and minister. Verse 23, "It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." So David here is able to use this skill of music, and that actually is something that God seems to use in David's life to prepare him and bring him into the court, to get him ready, perhaps, to lead there. He had this skill. And so God may give you a skill. He may allow you to have a skill that will be a part of His plan for you. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's something else, cooking, technology. You know, there's lots of different ones. Childcare, outdoor labor, building. And, skills can be developed. And I think it's safe to say that David spent time in developing his skill. You know, knowing what we know about music, usually, for the most part, this is something that really needs to be developed. It isn't something that you just automatically have. Now, there may be some people that are like that. But even the child prodigies, they spend a lot of time in practicing and developing their skill. And so God may use something like that, where you have a skill, and maybe you have an interest in some area, and you can work and develop that, and maybe that's something that God uses as His part of His plan to prepare you. And David evidenced that. People heard about him and knew that this was a man who could do that. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings." let me grab a drink here. Vocal cords are getting a little dry. So, skills. Skills are something that God can use in us to be a part of His plan, to prepare us for something. And it's good for us to maybe find something and work to develop it a little bit and, work on it, put forth some effort in that area. It, music, obviously, that's one big area. And music, okay? Music can be a powerful influence. We see that here. We see that it was a help for Saul. It's not, it didn't save Saul. We'll say that. It wasn't something that, completely changed him. But it did help him. It did help him a little bit. It was a powerful influence there. And it can be for good or evil. And God wanted to use that, it seems, in David's life. He allowed David to write music. We even sang one of David's songs tonight, Psalm 23. David wrote that, and God used that in his life and in our lives as well. So God prepares David. He prepares him from the time he was conceived. He prepares him with responsibility. He prepares him by His Spirit. He prepares him with these skills. But then notice here that David is recognized for his skill in music, yes, but not just that. It was not only that. Look at verse 18 again. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. David was a man that people could see had a relationship with God. The Lord was with him. People could see that. And that was the key to David's life. And as we come into chapter 17, which of course is David and Goliath, that is what stands out about David. The Lord is with him. And David has faith in the Lord. And he's able to stand in front of this giant Goliath and have this courage. Why? Because he has faith in the Lord. He trusts the Lord. And people saw David and they said, the Lord is with him. Get David. Yes, he has some musical skill and he's got some discernment. And he's a man of war. Evidently, they could see that somehow already. But David's faith in the Lord is that which makes him usable to God. And we need to see how important that is in preparing somebody. When God's preparing somebody, yes, he can do that however he wants to do it. But see how important it is to have a relationship with the Lord, to believe the Lord, to have the Lord with us. And, that's what made the difference between David and Saul. The Lord is with David. David is a man after God's own heart. He has faith in the Lord. So we see here, God provides by choosing according to his plan. And God chooses how God chooses. It's not how man chooses. It's how God chooses. And see how different that is. God's ways are not our ways. This is just another passage that tells us that God does things not how we do them. He sees the heart. And he prepares also. You know, he could just raise up somebody in an instant, and he does that sometimes in the scripture, but usually he prepares somebody over the course of a long period of time. David still has a long period of time to go before he actually becomes king. And God is still preparing him. And God still does that today. He prepares as part of his plan. He has all these different ways that he does that. And we must trust God's choices and allow him to prepare us as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this chapter about you and what you did with David. We thank you that you are God, and we know that you are far above us in all your ways, and we pray that we would trust you even when we don't understand your choice. We may not even like your choice, but help us to trust you and recognize that this is good. Help us to submit to your plan, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 171. We'll sing as we close. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Number 171. Let's stand as we sing. 171. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. 171. Thank you. Thank you for coming tonight. May the Lord bless you. We're dismissed.